We present The Sound of Football.
I think we both saw, sadly, coverage on Friday night on ESPN of the match between Cologne and Borussia Mönchengladbach. Cologne had one win in the last 14 home games, and Borussia Mönchengladbach had one win in the last 15 away. And I thought, well, if that doesn't scream kind of mediocrity or even a lack of goals, and I don't know what will, it turned out to be one all in it, and it wasn't a very inspiring match, was it?
When I saw that, I thought, bloody hell, you really picked that one. I mean,
ESPN do like to pick them, don't they? Greetings, everyone. Welcome to edition 33 of The Sound of Football. It's your very own Chris Oakley here speaking. Welcome to the show. As ever, it's my great good fortune to be sat here talking across the internet to my two colleagues from Some People on the Pitch, The Onion Bag, and various other projects, Terry DeFellin, and welcoming back once again, Graham Sibley. Welcome, both of you. We're gonna have a chat this week, I think, about the two very ends of the Premier League, the title race, and also what's going on down near the bottom. And also, if we've got time, we'll have a bit of a chat about this week's rather enticing Champions League and Europa League games. But let's start off with the title chase in the Premier League. Man United are still there. Man United had a very convincing win, as we know. What was that? 4-0, I think it was, wasn't it?
Against
Bolton. It was at Bolton, and so they're sort of still tripping along okay, and they also won, of course, without Wayne Rooney. Let's start off with you, Terry. The old saw, as it were, of teams that are playing in Europe and so on. Do you see any weakness in Man United's charge for the title, given the fact that they've got games coming up in the Champions League? Do you think that they're striking the right balance at the moment, or is there any possibility, do you think, that by focusing too much on the Champions League, they may go a little bit awry in the Premier League?
I think they might go awry in the Premier League if they get through to the semi-final. Can somebody remind me who they will be facing in the semi-final?
Well, it'll be Lyon or Bordeaux.
Teams. Okay, yeah. I think that they've got a fairly comfortable run to the final there. They're going on their traditional, back end run, and they're mm-hmm. coaxing performances out of players that had hitherto not really shown capable of performing. So Berbatov being one, and Gary Neville being another example. Vidic is returning to some kind of form and fitness. And I know that it's a popular subject, but the rise of Ji-Sung Park. Always a good player, but I mean, his rise to his sort of focal, his centre of attention that he's been getting now, I think is testimony to just how much good work that he does. And although Manchester United have perhaps had to, they did lose Cristiano Ronaldo, and perhaps were earlier in the season sort of like looking lacking there. The sort of peripheral squad members have now moved to the centre and have produced a really, really good unit that seem capable of fighting on the two fronts. They're playing Bayern Munich, and I think that's a Bayern Munich team that they shouldn't have too many problems with. Were they on the other side of the draw and they were looking at playing Barcelona or playing Inter Milan, then I think that they would struggle because those are two different sides, but I think that in the side of the draw that they're at, they're capable of playing both the Premier League and the Champions League.
And of course, this coming weekend, it's Man United at home to Chelsea, which many people are sort of suggesting will be a bit of a clincher, shall we say, in terms of whoever wins that will possibly go on and win the title. I'm not sure if you can really kind of simplify it that much, but coming to you, Graham, on the subject of Chelsea, I mean, they had that slight wobble. A few people kind of overreacted and went, that's them sort of, out of the running. And of course, they got back in, they beat Portsmouth and so on. And then they had an enormous win at the weekend, 7-1 over Aston Villa. Who's your money on, just to put you on the spot, Graham?
Now, my money's on Man United. Mm-hmm. I think they've got through the most difficult patch. It's interesting going back to what you were saying about the fact, can they fight on two fronts? I was looking through the stats the other week, as I do, and noted that four of Man United's six defeats this season have been immediately after Champions League
games. Yes, that's right. It's also similar, but, yeah.
You know, at the moment, that doesn't seem to be that they don't seem to be to look like a team that's going to be like that for the next for the rest of the season. I think they've certainly sorted themselves out, and they just look really quite unstoppable at the moment. But you know, I think there's still a few turns to be made yet, like irrespective of this weekend's match at Old Trafford. Chelsea, you know, they have, you know, just come back and been on fire again. It seems like when anyone's been written off this season, they've turned it round.
Mm.
So which does add to the entertainment of it. I mean, it's, yes, it is the same old faces up at the top there, but at least it is going to go down to the last weekend. I think that matches for certain.
Do you think it'll even go down as far as goal difference in the end?
I think it could well do, yeah. Depending on the result of this weekend's game, you know, I think there's only going to be a couple of. There's only one point between them at the moment. I mean, it's and there are still six games to go. Six games or
six
seven
games? Really, is the sort of average, I six guess. Games. You could say, if Man United's case, they've got, say, Chelsea at home, then Blackburn away, Man City away, Tottenham at home could be a bit tricky, and Sunderland away and Stoke at home.
No, it won't be. Tottenham are rubbish away against the big four team. I doubt whether they've even got a point at Old Trafford in the last 15 years or so.
And there's me trying to build up the tension. I mean, come on, no, just help me out here. I'm trying to do my best here.
Nah, throw you a bone, yeah.
Chelsea have got, say, Man United away, as we just mentioned, Bolton at home. Tottenham away, that won't be a tricky one, I feel. Stoke City at home, Liverpool away, and then Wigan at home, which should be a formality. So
yeah, Chelsea have a lot tougher games, I think. But I mean, out of Man United and Chelsea, their running is tougher, I think. But you know, I think, you know, if you're going to win the title, then you have to go and beat these teams.
Certainly, yeah. And I mean, if I think when they go out with the right sort of right mindset, shall we say, the right approach, then they can absolutely destroy teams, as Aston Villa found out to their cost at the weekend, as they losing 7-1. While we've got you on the mic, as it were, Graham, and talk about Arsenal. Arsenal are 3 points behind Chelsea now, 68 in third place. A slight slip at the weekend, 1-1 away to Birmingham. Nasri scored fairly late on, but Phillips managed to squeeze another one in at the end. Now, a few people have come up with the theory that essentially one instant improvement you could make to Arsenal is to essentially buy a decent goalkeeper. And I know it's sort of easy to overreact given the way that was it Al Mounir was in goal on the way he sort of fluffed the ball and allowed it to go in and sort of like, that sort of thing. Is it as simple as that? Just that, you know, do you need to get a new keeper? And B, who would you like to see them get in? I may have even asked you this before. I don't know. Or maybe I'm not sure if I.
Yeah, I think Almunia was bought as a second string keeper, and I think for a team with the sort of like Champions League winning aspirations that Arsenal have, he really is only a second string goalkeeper. But when you start talking about who you're going to bring in, there does seem to be, you know, a bit of a lack worldwide of consistently good goalkeepers. I mean, I think you can see by the age of some of the goalkeepers in the Premier League at the moment.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, you look at Van der Sar at 39; he's still probably the best goalkeeper in the
well
league
recently. And Reina's still doing pretty well at Liverpool by all accounts. But then, there's a bit of a gap to people like Joe Hart and so on, who are still, shall we say, learning the ropes as we go along.
Mm.
What was I going to say? Oh, sorry, go on.
I've got a suggestion. Manuel Neuer from Schalke. Oh. I think 24 years old. German, soon will probably be a possibly understudy to René Adler or possibly a number one goalkeeper for Germany in the World Cup. It's very much up for grabs.
A German goalkeeper, you say?
German.
Mm, that could
he's
work.
Not.
don't you wish you'd tried
not crazy.
Before,
he's not crazy. And he has.
Is he normal?
He has Champions League experience. He's gone up as far as the quarterfinals in the Champions League.
Is he normal?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a bit Teutonic in appearance, but he's German. So, you know, I mean, I think.
Why can't you be normal?
Why can't you be normal, Manuel? That's the soccer end sorted. I think that he would be. I think that there's a number of goalkeepers from the Bundesliga that a club like Arsenal could probably sign on relatively good terms as well. And I'm certain that Chris could probably pick out a few in Ligue 1 as well. So I just think it all depends on where you look and how good your scouting network is. I certainly think Joe Hart is a top four, top three goalkeeper in the making. But I think that perhaps is not quite his moment yet. But that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, it's not unknown, I guess, for Arsene Wenger to plunder the French leagues to bring back one or two decent players, and it's not beyond the realms of imagination, I guess, that he could during the summer grab himself a goalkeeper from Ligue 1 maybe to bolster the squad at Arsenal. Graham, I mean, is it pretty much fundamentally obvious now that during the summer Wenger is going to have to dip his hand in his pocket and spend some money on some new players? I mean, it seems almost essential now, doesn't it?
Well, it depends what his targets are. And if his targets are just to get into the Champions League, then, you know, he could probably argue to say, well, I'm doing all right at that, thanks very much. If I always go back to this argument that if he's going to go and challenge the top two for the title, they do have to spend a stupid amount of money. And maybe they're he's just waiting and saying, well, let's leave it a couple of seasons and just wait for it to run out of cash and then we'll go for it. I think a lot of people are saying, oh, no, but all your best players will leave. And, you know, the experience of most Arsenal of Arsenal fans is that if you look, when Arsenal have won things, the best players have left anyway. And you know, you could say the same at Man U. You know, you win three titles and the Champions League, and Cristiano Ronaldo subs off to Real Madrid. you know if your player's good enough, you know he'll go. And you know if you've got other players saying, well, I'm going to leave if we don't win anything. Well, you know, a lot of them will think, well, you know, part of the reason we're not winning anything is because of players like you. So good riddance. Yeah. I don't think anyone has left Arsenal in the last few years which I thought, oh, no, that's a real loss to us, that is. The one who probably was most lost to us was probably someone like Flamini.
Are
you discounting Arsenal winning the league this season then, Graham?
I think so, yeah. I think it's highly unlikely that both Man United and Chelsea will slip up. One of them maybe, but not both of them.
I mean, a draw at the weekend.
No, I still can't see it really, because you know where you think the other two are going to lose points, you can also see Arsenal losing points in similar fixtures. I think it's still in the realms of possibility, of course, but you know they have to win every game from now on to have a chance.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think they had to. We had a discussion last time we talked about the Premier League title race.
Yeah.
I think we touched on it very briefly and we speculated that Arsenal would need to win every game from then in order to have a chance.
Exactly, yeah.
And of course, they haven't. Of course, they haven't done that now. They've dropped points at the weekend. So if we were to follow that rationale, then that would be Arsenal's title race done. And also, they have got the small matter of two games against Barcelona as well, which is going to be something of a distraction. It's bound to have an effect on their form outside of those two fixtures.
Quite so, yes. Challenging weeks to come, I think, certainly for Arsenal. And I'm still confident that we'll get down to the last week or two, and it'll be sort of only a matter of a point or two in it. You never know, we might be heading for one of those classic Sky sort of final days of the final day of the week when they kind of switch between two games that are going on concurrently and they have to kind of confuse everyone by showing 5 minutes of one game, then cutting over to Old Trafford and back again and whatever.
Well, of course, they can't actually do that very well now because of ESPN having one of them.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say,
think,
of course.
Having at least one of the games anyway on the last day of the season, which...
In fact, Sky have actually been notorious for picking the wrong games in recent recent Climaxes series, which is amusing.
I was going to say, the fun that Sky could have in 3D, having kind of two games going on at once, mind boggles. The other end of the table, there is a fair old relegation scrap going on in the sense that, well, Portsmouth aside, who are of course dead in the water, you've got Hull City have suddenly managed to pluck their first 3 points out of the bag under the stewardship of Ian Dowie. Of course, West Ham heading in the opposite direction, look like they may drop into the bottom three. And Wolves have put in a tremendous run recently, so they're pulling themselves clear. So bit of a reshuffle going on there. Let's come to you, Terry, next. Big question, I suppose, is can Hull City get out by the end of the season? It's conceivable, I suppose, being that they're level on points now with West Ham.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they've got the king of the bounce back ability himself, mm-hmm. Ian Dowie. There, I've always thought that Hull have got had the players to keep themselves just above it throughout the course of the season, and I have to say I thought that perhaps they would have probably been all right even with Phil Brown. I like when he plays. I like Villigor of Hesselink, and I like Altidore. But the player I like the most, and the player who always, when he plays, the guy who always seems to make things happen, is Jimmy Bullard. Well, I mean, it's just that every time that he plays for them, they do well. There's stuff happens around him. And I think that it's not really a question of the manager. I think it's a question of Bullard. And I think that he's kind of got that kind of effervescence in the dressing room and ability on the pitch to make stuff happen and make good stuff happen for Hull. And they just seem to do well whenever he's in the side. So,
If he can play those last...
Sorry, Graham?
A modern-day Letiz.
Yeah, if you like. Yeah, I mean, obviously not quite as gifted as Letiz, but where he wakes up, where he lacks in Letiz's sort of, like, skill, he more than makes up in industry. I mean, imagine if Letiz had had that kind of industry. Although he did, when it really mattered, when Sir Southampton's chips were really down, it looked like, oh, well, they won't get out of this one. They're definitely going down this time. Letizier would just pitch up for 20 minutes and just rescue their season.
It's more down
and there's a bit, yeah, you're right, there's a bit of that, isn't it?
Talismanic qualities of it, really, isn't it?
I understand what you mean.
That it gives belief to a side.
They've got that figurehead to sort of,
They could do with him at West Ham, couldn't they, Chris?
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, you know, once upon a time, I think he was there for about 10 minutes and either got left or got injured first. I'm not quite sure which, but all too brief time at West Ham. But he's a fantastic player. I totally agree with Terry. He just sort of makes things happen. And he scored at the weekend. He can take decent free kicks the lot. So who knows? I mean, if he'd have been playing a damn sight more often for Hull, you know, and avoided injuries during the course of the season, then I dare say Hull would have been well clear of us by now, because they do have other decent players in the squad. And what's interesting is some of the sort of sound bites that are now coming from one or two of the players in the Hull squad, who are sort of saying that Ian Dowie actually works the team a lot harder in training than Phil Brown does, and is actually recognising some of the talents and the qualities of the players that Phil Brown didn't. So therefore, some of these players have been sitting around on the bench and generally moping in the last days of, leading up to the last days of Phil Brown, now suddenly have found they've got a new lease of life. They've got somebody who's really supporting them and telling them to get out there and show everyone how well you can play. And it is now starting to happen. They nearly got a win in Dowie's first game, but it all came right at the weekend. So who knows? I mean, Ian Dowie, I don't think, has got exactly a flawless record when it comes to rescuing teams and getting them to avoid relegation. But I think he may well do the job at Hull. Sadly for West Ham, if you look at the form table, the last six games, West Ham have lost all of the last six games, and I think it's the first time that's happened since 1967 that West Ham have lost six games on the trot. Strangely enough, they didn't go down that year, but then if you think of their in the squad at the time, your Hursts and your Bobby Moores and all the rest of it, it's probably not quite surprising. But worrying times for West Ham. Graham, have you seen any of West Ham in the last couple of games? And if so, what have you made of them?
Well, it's funny to say that, but last Wednesday I had the pleasure of saying hello to Rob Green.
Of course you did. You said so on Twitter, didn't you? Yes, I'm highly envious. And as I said at the time, I hope he didn't squeeze his hand too hard. When we need those hands.
Yeah, unfortunately, my magic touch didn't seem to do him any favours.
Let you off this time.
I saw them the other week against Arsenal, and I thought, you know, they put a decent enough performance in, but then I saw them. I've seen them since, and they are just looking poor at the moment, and they've got some tough old games coming up, so something really does need to turn around. They do need to put on, you know, that 3-game winning burst like they had last time.
It's the heads are down. Just in the last,
they need Tevez. That's what they need.
Yes. Who can we buy illegally in the last 6 weeks of the season? I don't know. We've just heard in the last 24 hours that Zola has decided he's going to stick at the club. He went off back to Italy for the weekend to have a think about things. He decided he's going to stick at it, and obviously he's decided that the main issue at fault is not him. But maybe just that they need to come up with some new ideas and new tactics. I only hope you can find some. It was only a slightly better performance from what I can make out of the West Ham against Stoke at the weekend. Only a 1-goal defeat, but still not the best performance I've ever seen. And there's no doubt, I think there's a couple of players like Colton Cole and so on who are like Benny McCarthy and whatever that are just not quite up to full fitness yet, which isn't helping. But and don't even get me started on David Gordon, David Sullivan opening their trap every 5 minutes. It's just not. I really can't believe that they think they're helping by saying all these terribly bad comments.
No, neither can I.
But anyway, there we are. And
I think that's astonishing. That's astonishing, Chris. Because I mean, they've just put their what's-its on the block with West Ham. You would think that the best thing that they would do would be to keep their hull shut until the end of the season, because any kind of talk from the board at this stage of the season, at this delicate stage, is just foolhardy.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely foolhardy. And these guys are experienced guys. It's not like it's their first club.
It does seem rather strange the way they've been reacting. I can't remember them ever being like this at Birmingham. I mean, maybe they were, just in the local press up there, but...
Well, I was thinking, Graham, that I think that sometimes Sullivan has almost appeared like someone who has the buyer's remorse. Yeah. It's almost like he thinks he's been sold a pup, and he just thinks, oh, God, I've just bought this club. It's saddled with debt. You know, the manager, I can't communicate with the manager. I don't think he's very good. I can't sack him. I don't know what to do. And now I've said a few things in the press that I shouldn't have said. So I'm just going to say a few more things, you know, in order to try and make up and turn things around. But, oh, no, now I appear to have made things even worse. You know, when you're in a hole, stop digging. And this is a guy who really should know these messes. Dig up, stupid! You know, and he's just—it's just really. I mean, it's a reflection of just how much disarray that club is in there at the moment, and it's difficult to say. But I mean, with an inexperienced manager who isn't really able to just go in there and just shake everybody and say, "Look, you know, just shut up." You know, you play better, you shut up, we'll do this, and then, you know, and if we end up getting relegated, then we can start firing people then, you know, but in the meantime, just, you know, just back me, and we'll just hope that it works out. But it looks, I think it looks really bad for them. I mean, I look at their running, they've got tough games, even like, their easier games are against Sunderland. And Wigan and they've got to play Fulham. I mean, Fulham is a game that they could win, but I mean Fulham are running out of steam. But you know, they got to go to Everton, they got to go to Liverpool.
Yeah,
that's not a good place. You know, they're not in.
Well,
a good
as somebody I think said on one of the BBC phone-ins I was listening to on a podcast earlier on today. You know, if you had someone like Jose Mourinho or somebody turning up at West Ham, then basically he could turn around to David Gordon, David Sullivan, and say, shut up, look at this list of all these trophies I've won. I'll get things sorted out, but you just keep your trap shut, and I'll just understand that I'm capable of making things happen. But unfortunately, whoever they're probably, if they even if they did get rid of Zola before the end of the season, which I actually don't think is going to happen, the type of manager that they will end up replacing Zola with probably almost certainly won't have that kind of reputation. In order, kind of alluding to what you're both saying, won't be able to talk back to the to Gold and Sullivan and make those kind of claims. They'll just sort of say yes sir, no sir, whatever you say sir, and going back again to the previous point in terms of not knowing when to shut up. Of course, the worst thing that could have happened was that whenever it was a few weeks ago, David Gold came out and David Sullivan, I think it was, came out and sort of said, West Ham are terrible at the moment, we're playing really awful, and we need a kick up the backside. And of course, the worst thing that could have happened actually did happen was that West Ham then went and beat Birmingham. So now they're thinking, oh, that's good. Every time we say something bad about West Ham, they'll go and win. And of course, it didn't work at the weekend. So you think, oh, dear. And as much as they might be correct about how bad West Ham are at the moment, you just got to understand that. Well, sure, we all do understand that there's a lot of players in that team that are going to be affected by anything even remotely negative. And what he should be saying is stuff that's supportive, positive, and sort of making the players feel like they're really valuable and really kind of, we've got a lot of trust that these players can turn things around. And they're not saying it. And I just think, no, it's got to go. It'll all end in tears. And one final thing on this matter, just sort of draw a line under it, there was something that David Sullivan said the other day. He said, some of the players that West Ham have been buying recently, he said, we go and sell someone like James Collins and then buy someone like Diamanti. And I thought, you were right up to the Diamanti bit, because actually Diamanti's probably been one of our best players this year. And James Collins going to Villa was definitely, he's absolutely right. A really bad move selling him to Aston Villa. But if you're going to use a kind of argument like that, you sort of suggest they've sold a bad player and sold a good player and bought a bad one, and it didn't work out. He clearly doesn't understand which are the better players in our squad. But anyway, I said, don't get me started on this, and look what you've gone and done now. That's pretty much the state of things. The way things are looking, I reckon West Ham could very easily be going down unless there's a huge turnaround in their fortunes. Hull, I've got this feeling that Ian Dowie is going to carry on the good form that he's managed to find at the weekend. But we shall see. We'll obviously be monitoring that as things go along. I think we've maybe got a minute or two left, perhaps at the end of the programme, fellas, just to quickly look towards Europe. Which of the games are you looking forward to seeing? Obviously.
Arsenal-Barcelona, obviously. I'm intrigued by Inter CSKA as well. I think unknown quality from CSKA, I'm thinking that could be quite entertaining.
Arsenal-Barcelona is definitely the tie of or both European competitions. And, of course, I have personal German interest in the Man United-Bayern game. And also Fulham-Wolfsburg, which I should be keeping an eye on as well. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm looking forward to seeing how Roy Hodgson deals with Dzeko and Griffith.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, as you've alluded to before, they're definitely there for the taking, Wolfsburg. And I shall naturally be watching Lyon v Bordeaux. I think that'll be an excellent tie as well.
There's also Watford playing Crystal Palace. It's a must-win game for Crystal Palace. They're 4 points adrift of Watford. And if we can't win there tomorrow, then we're boned, basically.
Well, and there was I looking forward to maybe the two of us going along to see Crystal Palace v West Ham next season. I mean, you've got to hang in there for us, Terry. I mean, if we're heading down, we'll meet you when we get there.
I don't think you will.
I had a feeling you might say that. Anyway, there we go. I think we'll call that a day. And
on that bombshell.
On that bombshell.
Yeah. We'll see that coming, did you?
Under the 33rd edition of The Sound of Football. Thank you very much indeed for listening to us. Of course, as you're probably known by now, we've got lots of different offices open. If you want to get in touch with us, we've got our Sound of Football Twitter stream. We've got our Sound of Football Facebook fan page. We're all over Twitter. You know what to do. Go and find us. And, of course, it goes without saying, Sound of Football blog site, soundoffootball.blogspot.com. Check it out and leave us a few comments if you can. Tell us how we're doing and talk football generally. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Hope to have the pleasure of your company next week. For now, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's goodbye.
And now it's time for Soccer Yens.
Why can't you just be abnormal, Manuel? Goodbye.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Yens.